Amen. Thank you, Pastor Allen. It is a joy and an honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come out and be a part. And thank you for praying. I literally, a couple of days ago, got picked up at the airport, and I thought, I was actually in Atlanta, and thought to myself, you know, I told my wife, Christy, on our way here, I said, I can't even get on the flight to make it to Gulfport. But we got here, and first thing I did, I think I was in bed for hours and hours and hours. But thank you for on Friday praying for me. And I feel a whole lot better, and God has healed me, so that is incredibly awesome. But I can already tell that I love this church, and the guy picked me up, Lance. We were talking a little bit, and I said, what is the thing that you love most about the church? And he said, it's like a family. And you can certainly feel that. We felt that just in the last couple of days of us being here, that it is like a family. And your pastor, you have an incredible pastor and wife, and they are a joy to be around. Give them a big round of applause, if you will. But I am honored to have the invitation to talk to you a little bit this morning. And if you have a Bible, go with me to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read verse 7 through 11 and then verse 18. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Pastor Mark and I were just talking a little bit earlier, man. This passage probably has 10 different sermons in it. And so I just really want to share what God has been speaking to me. Verse 7, it says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped." Everyone say worshipped. "They all stood and worshipped each at the entrance to their tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face." Man, I love that. How many of you want God to speak to you face to face? Come on. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Jump down a few verses, Exodus 33, verse 18. "Then Moses said, 'Now, Lord, show me your glory.'" Lord, in these next moments, we want to hear your voice, God. Thank you for speaking to us, and thank you already in advance for what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it was back in November that Pastor Wayne came to our church. I have an incredible friendship with Pastor Wayne and June. His wife, Christy, and I have known them for years. And Wayne, just publicly, I want to say, Wayne has had a tremendous influence on my life. Prophetically, I'm minister and do all the things that I do really because of Wayne and seeing his model of prophetic ministry, and now for 10 years kind of having followed some of that and been with him all over the country in all kinds of different churches. And so we had him back in November, and he came and spoke to our church, and it was such a powerful and dynamic time because he talked about worship and he talked about what is being called a thin place. So there are certain places that are beginning to experience a great outpouring of God's presence that are almost like thin places where heaven and earth are colliding. And I want to be a thin place. How many of you want to be a thin place? And let me just go ahead and tell you the kind of preacher I am. The better you amen, the better I'll preach. I will get wound up if you'll get wound up with me. Come on, somebody. All right, that's good. That's good. But we talked about being a thin place, and our church has owned that. Our community, we have begun to press into that place of wanting to be a thin place, of pressing in transparency and pressing in into God's presence. And I really believe and sense that God is calling the body of Christ, and that this isn't just a message for our church, but it's a message for the church, that so much of the stuff is being stripped away in worship, and God is taking us back to an incredible place of authenticity and worship. Amen. And that place of authenticity starts in our personal lives. And so that's what I want to talk to you about for just a couple of moments, is the power of personal worship. The power of personal worship. You know, worship is not an event that we come to. When we talk about the worship service, or we talk about worship times, and we even talk about things like the prophetic worship conference, or, you know, this conference on worship and prophecy. But worship is not an event that we come to. It's a lifestyle we live. It's the same way your body needs sleep. Listen, your spirit needs worship. And here's the thing. There is a battle going on for your worship. There's a battle that is taking place for your worship. There is a war that is being raged inside of you for your worship. And the enemy wants to take your worship. Wants to take everything about that. But God is calling us to a place of personal worship. A place of personal expression to Him. And I don't know about you, but there are times that even in my personal worship and even in my corporate worship that I feel a disconnect. Yeah. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? Come on, let me ask this out over here, y'all. Okay. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? Just felt like my worship's not getting through, that I'm just having a hard time connecting. You know, my son went to school in Brussels, Belgium, and he's 27 years old, and we just had they just had a little girl. So we have two little granddaughters just in the past couple of months. I mean, they've wrecked our lives, and we'll never be the same again now. And I've already decided they get anything they want. You know, if they cry, if they pitch a fit, we go straight to the toy department. They get anything, right? Whatever they want. But my son's 27, and he went to school in Brussels. And one of the hardest things that I ever did as a parent was leave my son at 18 years old in Europe to go to school. Now, the great thing that came out of it was that he married his wife, Aurora. And so she's French from Belgium. And so, we're an international family. But I remember when I had to leave, and finally he got settled on campus and pulling away, I was just a mess because I knew that there would be a disconnect. And so I got home, and as hard as we tried, you know, with Skype and FaceTime wasn't as big then, but we had Skype, and it wasn't quite as advanced as it is now, but we would have bandwidth issues, and it was like I could see him there at times, and I could kind of make out a little bit of his image, but it was fuzzy, and there just wasn't the connection speed. We just had a hard time connecting, so there would be a little communication and then no communication, a little bit of communication and no communication. And I found that with our lives, that sometimes the bandwidth of our lives, that there are so many things coming at us that we can kind of see God a little bit, but there's a disconnect. I sense Him a little bit on the weekends, and I sense Him at a 10:30 service, and I can sense Him in my life group. I can sense Him at different times, but I have a hard time connecting. There's just a little bit of a disconnect. What causes that disconnect? And here's what I would say. It's not God causing the disconnect. The disconnect happens, I believe, from us. It's a lack of our personal worship. It's a lack of the connection that we have to God. And so I want to share a few thoughts with you about Moses. And I love this story of Moses. And what I love is the authenticity of Moses' life. Moses was a guy that was flawed. He had issues. He had problems. But yet God selected him as this great leader. And one of the things that Moses enjoyed was this connection with God. He enjoyed this connectivity with God that I want. I want to be able to have that FaceTime like Moses had, those encounters with God like Moses had. And I want to be able to have that personal God-centered time. And so three things that I want to share with you about your personal worship like we see here with Moses. And here's the first thing. Firstly, personal worship will change your perspective.
That's right.
Personal worship will change your perspective. Exodus 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, look at these words. Have you ever seen these words? Now show me your glory. Read that with me. Now show me your glory. Look at this. Now show me your glory. Here's what happens in worship a lot of times is we're trying to get God to see our glory. When we're trying to get God to connect with us, and we're trying to get God to see our glory, and if we're not careful, worship ends up becoming about us.
Right.
Newsflash for you here this morning, worship's not about you. Worship is not about you. Worship is not about me. Worship is about God. And as soon as we start to make worship about me, then what we do is we move into a place of a consumerism mentality in our worship. God has not called us to be consumers of worship. He's called us to be consumed by worship. You see, a consumer of worship is always asking, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What have you ever heard somebody say, well, I really didn't get a whole lot out of worship? Come on, it's getting awfully quiet in here right now. Come on, Pastor, I didn't get a whole lot out of worship. Well, I don't know that you were supposed to get a whole lot out of it. It's a matter of what you're putting into it. We're always trying to get something out of it. It's not what's in it for me. We should be asking the question, God, what's in it for you? So often we base our worship on preferences. The songs that we like. Well, I didn't like that song. We did that song the other day. I didn't care for that song too much. I really wish we would do this song more because I really like that song. I really feel God's presence when we do that. And we start evaluating worship based on our preferences and our likes and our dislikes. But could you imagine what worship would be like if the way we evaluated worship wasn't based on our preferences? Watch this. But when we went out to the car today and when we got in our car. If we sat in our car today and we said to God, God, how did you feel about what I did today? God, when I worshiped you this morning at the 10:30 service, what did you think of my worship? How did it make you feel? See, that's being consumed by worship, not being a consumer of worship. See, so often we trip over style when we should be tripping over surrender. Where we're thinking about songs when we should be thinking about actions. I'm praying and saying, God, I want you to consume me with worship. I want my personal worship to change my perspective. I don't ever want it to be about me. And it's bad, man, I'll just be transparent. I have at times allowed worship to be about me. And as a pastor, I've walked out of worship services evaluating every single thing. God, help me to be at the place where I get in my own personal time and my own personal perspective of you begins to change. Because when you get into your personal time of worship and you allow God to begin to change that perspective, here's what happens. It begins to magnify who God is. The Word tells us, magnify the Lord with me. It's like when worship helps us take a magnifying glass in to God. And it's not that He's getting bigger, but my perception of who He is getting bigger. I'm beginning to see Him in a different way. I begin to hear Him in a different way. He begins to talk to me in a different way. God wants to say some things to you that can only happen in your personal worship. There are some perspectives that you have, and there are some things, listen, there are some things that you may even believe that God is wanting to change that can only happen when you allow Him to change your perspective. See, worship's not a feeling that comes over you, but it's an expression to God that comes out of you. One of the things I've learned is that God is not harsh. I won't tell you the denomination that I grew up in. I grew up in a denomination that was extremely legalistic. I grew up in a church that was legalistic. Christy and I were involved in some churches that were highly legalistic. And I always thought that God was so harsh. And I did my best trying to keep all the rules and do all the things. And I always felt like I was never good enough. I was never going to make it. Man, I could never achieve. I could never do the right thing. And it wasn't until God began to break some of those things off of my life. And it wasn't just through teaching, but it was through worship. Because when I began to worship, God began to reveal another side of who He is. That He wasn't some harsh judge that was standing over me looking to hit me over the head, but He was a loving God that was full of grace and mercy. Some of you need to hear that today, that God is full of grace and compassion. And you've made some mistakes. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. And what worship does, when I have those times, those personal worship moments, it helps change my perspective. And it helps get my eyes off of myself and get my eyes fixated on Him. Get my eyes fixated on Jesus. The second thing that worship does and personal worship will do is it will strengthen your faith. Personal worship will strengthen your faith. I was a young youth pastor, I got called into ministry at 16 years old. I ran from the call of God a little bit. And Christy and I got married. We were 18 years old. We've been married almost 30 years, which is awesome. And but when we got married, we started off in ministry pretty early, and we went to this one particular church, this church of about 75 people. And the pastor had never had anybody on staff before. I was the first guy. And so I realized he hired me to be a youth ministry, hired me to do youth ministry. And once I got there, I realized that what I was going to be doing was 5% youth ministry, 95% whatever he told me to do. I realized that was going to be my lot. And so, man, he was brutal to me. He was tough on me. I mean, he called me names all the time. I mean, just, it was one of the toughest things. I mean, just a hard assignment. And after us being there for a little while, we got ready to leave, and he leaned down in the car and he said, "Boy, you're going to be crawling back to me in 2 weeks." I said, "Pastor, if I know anybody called to ministry, I'm going to send them here." He said, "Why are you going to do that?" I said, "Because if they can make it here, they can make it anywhere, you know." But we were in a time, and he never supported anything I did. Just, you know, it was just tough. But I really felt that God had put on my heart during that time to start an early morning prayer group. We would meet at 6 a.m. to pray, and he barely supported it and announced it a few times. And the first time we opened it up, nobody showed up. And nobody ever came to the 6 a.m. prayer time except for me. But I was there every morning at 6 a.m. And I'll never forget one of the moments that I had that was so real that even looking back right now, I can remember. It was so powerful. I was in the room, and I was crying out to God. I had some worship music playing in the background, and I was just worshiping the Lord. I was walking around the auditorium, and I was walking the perimeter. We had these curtains alongside of the wall about that same distance away from the backdrop there. And as I was walking, I just looked over, and out of the corner of my eye, it just kind of caught me. But I just saw, as I was walking, the curtains would move with me. I could see the curtains just moving, and at first I felt like a immediate kind of like, that's really weird. Have you ever had anything like really weird happen, you know? But it was one of those quick moments, and then immediately a peace came over me, and I stopped and the curtain stopped. And then I started walking again, and the curtain started moving, and the Lord came and spoke to me and said, "I want you to know that I am always with you. I'm always with you. I'm always with you." And that changed me. That helped me and set me on a path, even in my personal worship, of realizing that some of the greatest, most powerful times that I've had have been in my personal worship moments. A while back, I had a time where I was just calling out to the Lord. I was laying on the floor. I was laying on the floor and had my eyes closed. I had worship music going and just been crying out to God. And I'm just telling you, it was as if Jesus walked in the room. I felt his presence so strong and so powerful to the point that I could feel him almost standing over the top of me. I was just laying on my back, laying there just worshiping the Lord. And I was just in a place of just being quiet. And just, I was almost scared to open my eyes. Because I thought, if I open my eyes, he's going to be standing over me and I don't want to die. You know what I mean? But I could feel him so strongly just over my life. I've had some powerful experiences like that. I've had some great experiences in corporate worship, but I'm just telling you, some of the most remarkable, intimate, personal times that I've had have been with me and God. And just those personal times, those personal expressions where he has strengthened my faith. Amen. Some of you are here this morning and you need your faith strengthened. Some of you are here today and you're going through some challenges and you're going through some of those tough times and you need God to walk with you. I just want to stop and take a time out and say, man, if you'll just find a place of worship, if you'll just find you a place of worship, if you'll just find you a tent of meeting like Moses. Here's the cool thing. In the New Testament, it talks about the tent. And here's the deal. You're the tent. Amen. You are the tent. Where Moses used to go into the tent of meeting, now you're the tent. God's presence resides on the inside of you. God is with you. And if you'll just take time to stop and acknowledge him and recognize that he's there, I'm just telling you, not only will he begin to change your perspective, but he will begin to increase your faith. He will begin to speak to you. You'll begin to hear things. He'll begin to strengthen your faith. in ways that you can't even imagine. Now look at Exodus 33, verse 7. It says, it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. It was his practice. Look at this. It was Moses' practice. I always say that the weekend worship experience, at least for us in our church, the weekend worship experience, that's like game time. That's like the pep rally time. That's the expression of everything that God is already doing in our lives. That is the overflow. When we get together and worship on the weekends, and even when you get together and worship here, what that is that's the overflow of what's already taken place in your life. See, all throughout the week, you've been practicing your worship. Moses made it his practice. It was something that he did on a consistent basis. It happened on a regular basis. And that's why I want to encourage you here this morning to make worship a practice of your life. Worship is not just a segmented thing. Worship is just not something that we do at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Worship is your lifestyle. Worship is something that we're always supposed to do. We make it our practice. Moses made it his practice. Somebody needs to hear that today, because if you'll make it your practice, you'll begin to experience the presence of God more in your life. And some of you are hungry. Man, I can tell you this, just from being here in the last few services, man, this is a church that is hungry for God's presence. That is hungry for more of God. Man, I'll tell you, one of the things I love seeing are kids worshiping. That tells me a whole lot about the church. And seeing kids worshiping, I saw a little guy with a guitar in his hand this morning. I was like, that's awesome. See kids worshiping around the back. Last night I walked in, kids worship. That tells me a whole lot about the character of the leadership of the church, the direction of the church. And I'm just saying, there's a place, I believe that there's a great desire that you have for the presence of God. But I also want you to know that that expression can happen in a greater way if you'll make it personal in your lives. If you'll find your personal place of worship. Personal worship will strengthen your faith. And then finally, Todd, come on up if you would. Personal worship will prepare you for your destiny. Personal worship prepares you for your destiny. I'm going to throw some names out at you. Anybody ever heard the name Shemua? Shaphat? Egal, Palti, Gadiel. Anybody ever name their kid Gadiel? Any Gadiels in here? Gadi, Emil, Sethur, Nabi, Guel. Any fans for any of those names? Let me just try them again. Shemua. I live about 3 hours away from Orlando, and I'm not talking about Shamu. Anybody ever been to SeaWorld? The hat. Anyway. Shemua. Shaphat. Let me just run through them again. Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Emil, Sethur, Nabi, sounds like a pet's name, Nabi, Guel. We don't recognize any of those names. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you if you've ever heard this name. Have you ever heard the name Joshua? Have you ever heard the name Caleb? Now check this out. Just hang in here with me, because you're wondering where I'm getting ready to go. Hang in here with me. Numbers chapter 13 records the name of all these guys. If you flip over in your Bible, you'll see the names of all of these guys I just mentioned. And we don't know any of their names. You see, they were 12 spies that were called to go in and possess the land, or go in and spy out the land. The land that God had already given his people. And so they had decided that they were going to take one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they would take the best of the best. They would take the top-notch person, kind of the top-notch warrior from each of their tribes. And so they took the best of the best. They took the Green Berets of the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs of the Navy SEALs. They took the top ones that they had, and the each particular tribe put forth their warrior. Man, we're going to put forth Shammua. We're going to put forth Shaphat and Palti and Emil. So these 12 guys, they go in and they spy out the land that God has promised His people. You guys with me? And they all come back with a report. And here's the report they come back. They come back with a report and they say, man, you are not going to believe it. It is exactly what God said. It's incredible. The promise is real. As a matter of fact, we've even brought back some of the fruit from it. I mean, look at the size of this fruit. Look at the size of what is over there. But we're not going. Wait, hold on. God already said He was going to give you the only one. What? No, we're not going because, you know, the giants are way too big. We're never going to be able to do that. We're never going to be able to accomplish. Have you ever heard somebody say never? Man, we're never going to be able to do that. That's never going to happen. That'll never take place. Man, our church will never do this. Our church will never do that. There were only two guys that stepped forward. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb. Both those guys stepped up and said, surely if the Lord is in this, we can take the land. Surely if God is really in this, then we can take the land. We can possess the land. Now let me ask this question. How is it that out of the 12 spies, only two of them came back and said, surely we can do this thing? How is it that all the other ones said, well, it's never going to happen? Here's the thing. This is what I want to show you right here. It's in Exodus 33, verse 11. Here's how Joshua was able to step up in this moment. Look at this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua, catch this, did not leave the tent. Moses would pitch the tent, call it the tent of meeting. All the people would stand at the entrance, and they would have this incredible worship conference. Each man stood, everybody there, the pillar of cloud, God's presence. They would see it. Moses would go in. God would speak to Moses face to face. Everybody was just in awe. Everybody was there in worship. The worship conference, it was incredible. It was awesome. And then Moses would come out. Look at this. And then the worship conference was all, and then the worship conference was over. Every man went back to his tent. Everybody left. Even tonight, man, the worship and prophecy conference and prophetic conference is going to be over. And a lot of people will go back to their homes. And they'll get right back into their routines. And everybody back in Exodus 33, they all went back to their routines except for this one guy by the name of Joshua. Look at that. Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. When everybody had left, it was Joshua who said, I am not going to leave the presence of God. I'm going to stay connected in the presence of God. Even though the service ends at a particular time, I'm going to go home and I'm going to stay connected in the presence of God. And on Monday morning, I'm going to stay connected in the presence of God. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to worship in the presence of God. He stayed connected in the presence of God so that when he came to a crossroad of decision, when everybody else stepped away, it was Joshua, because he had inhaled the very breath of God. Joshua in that tent, outside of that tent, when everybody had left, he stayed there and said, I just have not got enough of God yet. I'm going to stay here and continue to breathe in the breath of God, to breathe in the life of God, to inhale the very life of God. So that when it came to that crossroad moment, he was able to exhale it into his destiny. Man, God is raising up Joshuas. and worshipers, people who won't leave the presence of God, people who won't look at worship like it's a segmented thing, but understand that it's all in our lives. That worship is not something we do, but it is who we are. We were made to worship. We were created to worship. God has called us to worship. And if you'll step into a greater place in your personal worship, I'm just telling you, when you get together, even next week, and I think Pastor is going to encourage you to do that a little bit, but if you'll just get into your personal prayer time a little bit this week, and your personal connecting with God, and your personal worship time, I'm just telling you, next week during worship, you will blow the roof off of this place. And I'm praying that when you blow the roof off of this place, that God would pour in His presence and show the devil how big He really is. Come on. I'm believing that God is going to raise up some incredible worshipers. Some worshipers. I just have that image in my mind of Joshua. Would you just stand up with me if you would and just close your eyes for a couple of moments. I just have this image of Joshua at the entrance of that tent. I can just see him there, breathing God in. Lord, we want to breathe your presence in. We want to breathe your presence in. We want to breathe your life in. We want to breathe your presence in. Lord, we want to breathe your presence in. Jesus, help us to breathe your life. Lord, after you resurrected, it says that you showed up behind the closed doors. Disciples, they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of everybody. It says that you breathed on them. God, would you breathe on us? Can we inhale the very life of you? We want your presence. We want your presence in worship. We don't want just songs. We want presence. Lord, we want presence. We want presence. We want your presence. God, we want your presence here today. God, we want your presence. Lord, fill us with your presence. God, I pray that you would raise up worshipers in this place. God, I thank you already. Lord, I can sense this is a worshiping church. But there is a new level of worship. There is a next level worship that is taking place and beginning to take place. God, I pray that every single person, Lord, in this room, we'll step into that next level worship place. God, may they step in and begin to move into places that you're calling them to. God, we surrender fully to you. God, help us to be consumed by you, not to be a consumer. Come on, all across this room, everybody, would you just lift your hands with me? Just say, Jesus, I want to be consumed by you. I want to be consumed by worship. I want to be consumed by worship. I want to be consumed by worship. Help me to have a greater perspective of you. Help me to have a greater perspective of you. Strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. Give me an endurance in those practice times of worship. To press in during those moments of practice in my worship. To do things in worship that I've never done before. Jesus, thank you. I want to pray for you also if you're here and you're away from God. And your life is not where it needs to be with God. Jesus is wanting to breathe His life on you right now. If you're here and you need to say yes to the Lord, I just want you to pray with me and say, Jesus, come into my life. I say yes to you. Yes to your plan. Yes to your purpose. Yes to your will for my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for me. I receive the free gift of eternal life. From this moment forward, my life will never be the same. From this moment forward, I'm committed to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a worshiper in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Can we put our hands together for the Lord here this morning? Pastor Mark.